group. Father, just bless them tonight. We pray for every person here tonight. Father, that you reveal yourself to us, that we come to know you in a greater way. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. All right, you guys can be seated as well. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Welcome. We're glad you're here tonight. And this is part four in our series on how to be led by the Spirit of God. And so, praise God. We'll get into this. Look with me, first of all, to Romans chapter 8. That's our scripture that we're going to turn to. You can be finding that. And before we get into that scripture, though, I want to read again the preface to this book, the title of this book that is our basically our study guide for this series. Besides number one, the Bible is our number one study guide for this series and any series that we would have. But we're also using this as a study guide, the book by Kenneth Hagin, How to Be Led by the Spirit of God. And so this is what he says to introduce this book. He said, in February 1959 in El Paso, Texas, the Lord appeared to me in a vision. He came into my room at 6:30 in the evening, sat down in a chair by my bedside, and talked with me for an hour and a half. Now, just imagine that. Imagine that the Lord Jesus Christ comes into your room, sits down beside you, and talks to you for an hour and a half. It's amazing, isn't it? I tell more about this in the book, but I want to emphasize something here first. He talked to me about the ministry of the prophet. Then he said, I did not put prophets in the church to guide the New Testament church. My word says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, if you will listen to me, Jesus is still talking to Dad Hagin. Now, if you will listen to me, I'm going to teach you how to follow my Spirit. Then I want you to teach my people how to be led by the Spirit. Notice that the Lord Jesus Christ gave Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin, a commission that night, February 1959 in El Paso, Texas. He said, I want you to teach my people how to be led by the Spirit. So Jesus commissioned him, and certainly not just him. There's others that have taught along this line, but Jesus specifically appeared to him, talked to him for an hour and a half about this subject, and he said, now I want you to take what I've discussed with you for this past hour and a half, and I want you to teach my people how to be led by my Spirit. And Brother Hagin then comments, he says, I am ashamed that I've let many years go by without teaching too much along this line. Why is he ashamed? Because he, looking back, he realized, you know, I didn't really fully obey the Lord in this. And so he said, now I need to get on that. I heard him say one time, he said, the Lord dealt with me and said, you do this or else. He said, well, I've become acquainted with his elses, he said. And so maybe the Lord had spoke to him again and said, hey, you know, remember that assignment I gave you. You need to complete it. So he said, occasionally, I would get into the edge of it, but I did not really teach on it. So in recent times, the Lord has stirred me up, and now I am beginning to teach more on this subject. This book is a part of that stirring. And this book came out, I think it was first printed in 1977, so that was about 18 years after Jesus appeared to him. And this edition, I think, was 1986, it says. And then the edition that you have, Mike, is, I don't know what year that was. That's in the 2000s, I guess. This is a legacy edition. Copyrights, 78 was the original one. 78, 89, and 2006. So this is the 2006 edition that we have in the bookstore. My edition is the 1986 edition, so that we have. But the point is, what we're involved in this study on Wednesday nights is something that we know, unless Brother Hagin was a liar, and if he was, then he was one of the biggest liars that ever hit planet Earth. Either Jesus appeared to him and told him, I'm going to teach you these things, and I want you to teach the church how to be led by my Spirit. Either if he told the truth, and I believe he did. I believe Jesus did appear to him. Then we're involved in something that the Lord Jesus Christ directly commissioned and commanded that he wants the church to know in this time and in this day. So that's exciting to me.
Amen.
hey, you know, it's good to be studying something that Jesus wants us to study. Amen. Amen. Right. So praise God. And the scripture, another scripture we opened up this series with is in 2 Timothy. We won't turn there tonight, but in 2 Timothy, Paul told Timothy, he said, the things that you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who'll be able to teach others also. So Paul taught it to Timothy. Timothy was to teach it to others, and they would be able to teach. So in other words, the revelation and the truth that Paul was sharing was to be passed down to different spiritual generations, not necessarily natural generations, but spiritual generations. You, Timothy, I'm teaching it to you. You teach it to faithful men, and they'll be able to teach others also. I don't feel bad about sharing a revelation and a teaching that someone else has received. Well, don't you want to come up with your own stuff? Well, I just want to share what Jesus wants the church to hear. Amen. And I know that's what this is, so I'm happy to share it with you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So, Romans chapter 8, verse 14, one of the two foundation scriptures for this study. Romans 8, 14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive, verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So two things here, the sons of God, and that would be the daughters of God as well. And all the daughters of God said, amen. Amen. All right. So the sons of God, the daughters of God, the children of God, are to be led by the Spirit of God. That's how we're to operate. That's how God designed it to be. We're to be led by the Spirit of God. And like Brother Hagin shared, Jesus told him, he said, I did not put prophets, even though he talked to him about the ministry of the prophet, because that's the office that he stood in the body of Christ, that Brother Hagin stood in. And that's why he talked to him about that ministry. He said, I did not put prophets in the church to lead the New Testament church or to guide the church. Now, it's a ministry gift and a ministry office that is needed for the church today, absolutely. But what he was saying was, if you need to know what God wants you to do, you don't have to go to a prophet and say, would you please inquire of the Lord for me and tell me what I need to do? No. He said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. And he said, the Spirit, and in verse 16, the scripture says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And then the other scripture is Proverbs 20, verse 27. It says this, the spirit of a man, everybody said the spirit of a man. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord searching all the inner depths of his heart. And that means that God will, what that saying is, that God will enlighten us. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord so that God will enlighten us. God will guide us through our spirit. That's the part of you that he speaks to. That's the part of us that's born again. That's the part of us that becomes a new creation. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Well, that's not your body. That's not your mind. That's your spirit. That old things are passed away and all things become new. And it's that spirit, man, that's the part of us that's born again. And that's the place where the Holy Spirit resides. And so that's the place where God will speak to us in our spirit. And so mankind, humans, you and me, we are, and each one of us, an eternal spirit being. Amen? Amen. That's who you are. You're an eternal spirit being. Brother Mark Hankins says, God created man to be a speaking spirit. Praise God. I like that part. I like that he adds in there too, a speaking spirit. Amen. We're a spirit being, and we have the ability to speak and communicate and declare. Amen. Amen. In Genesis 1, verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So we're created in the image of God. And then Jesus said this in John 4, 24. He said, God is a spirit. So if we're made in the image of God, that means we are a spirit being, right? Amen. Amen. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, in this scripture we have revealed to us the entire makeup of man. Here we go. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he says spirit, soul, and body. Amen. That's the entire makeup of man. And a good way to say it, and we've talked about this, but for those of you that haven't been here, a good way to acknowledge it and to say it is to say it this way: I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Praise God. So well, let's just do that. Say it after me. Say, I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. That'll help you by saying that and by thinking that way. That'll help you to become more spirit conscious. Amen. And we need to be more spirit conscious. Amen. Praise God. And so I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. And we talked about the different ways then that God leads us, and there are some different ways, and we begin to talk about those. And number one we talked about, of course, was the inward witness. That is the number one way. Everybody say the number one way. The number one way that God leads us is by the inward witness. That's not a voice. That's just a knowing on the inside. That's the number one way. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. And so he bears witness. What is that? That's just an inward knowing. He says he bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. How do you know that you're saved? The Spirit of God, the Spirit Himself bears witness with my spirit. Amen? Amen. That I'm a child of God. Praise God. You know that you know and you're knower. Yep. Amen, so somebody said. He bears witness. It's not a feeling. Well, I feel saved. Well, you know, we need to be careful. We'll talk more about feelings in a few minutes here. But feelings can change, can't they? Yep. You know, feelings can come and go. So we can't be ruled or governed by our feelings. No, it's not a feeling. It's an inward witness, an inner knowing. And not only does he bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. So if he's gonna let us know we're children of God by that way, then not only with the most important thing that we could know, but in every situation, the number one way, the primary way that he'll lead all of his children is by that inward witness. And a lot of times that's not spectacular. And a lot of times we miss that. Christians miss that, not knowing what that is. Number one, not being conscious of their spirit and not being in tune with their spirit, number one, and not being conscious of it. But then also thinking, well, if God's going to speak to me, it's got to be booming. It's got to be spectacular. And Dad Hagin used to say all the time, many times we miss the supernatural looking for the spectacular. This is supernatural. The Spirit of God bearing witness with our spirit is supernatural. It may not be always spectacular, but it's supernatural. Amen. Amen. It's God revealing things to you. That's supernatural, isn't it? Amen. Things that you couldn't know any other way. So number one is the inward witness. And then the number two way is the inward voice. The inward voice. And that's all that can also be identified as our conscience. Your conscience is the voice of your spirit. Your conscience is the voice of your spirit. And we talked about this last week. Is your conscience, somebody said, is your conscience a safe guide? You know, you hear people say, well, just follow your conscience. Well, if you're born again, then your conscience is a safe guide. You know, if you have the life of God in you, in your spirit, then your spirit's going to want to do the right thing. Amen. And so your conscience can be and is then a safe guide. And that's we call that the inward voice. And I want to read just an excerpt from the book here. Romans chapter 9, verse 1. I think we have that scripture. Do we have that one, Mike? Did I put that in the notes? I did not. Okay, that's all right. I'll just read it to you here. I read it last week, I think. Romans 9, verse 1, Paul says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Let me read that again. That's right. You make a note of that if you'd like. Look it up later. Romans chapter 9 and verse 1, he says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. So he says, the number one way the Spirit guides us is through the inward witness. Number two is by the inward voice. The inward man, who is a spirit man, has a voice, just as the outward man has a voice. We call this voice of the inward man conscience. We call this voice the still small voice. Remember, that's in Scripture where Elijah received direction and revelation through the still small voice. That's your conscience. That's the voice of your spirit. Your spirit has a voice. Your spirit will speak to you. And so I won't go into details, any more detail on that, but that's the number two way. Number one, the inward witness, and number two, the inward voice. And then he gives some more, I think, some examples here that we're gonna look at as well. So let me go over here. There's a chapter in the book called Depend on Your Spirit. So if you have the book, that's chapter 15. I'm going to read a couple of pages here from this chapter, Depend on Your Spirit. And it's where he shares some personal testimony about how he was healed. Your spirit knows things that your head does not know, because the Holy Spirit is in your spirit. Let me say that again. Get this. Your spirit knows things that your head does not know, because the Holy Spirit is in your spirit. Do you know that's true? Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen. When medical science gave me up to die as a teenager and said they could do nothing further for me, I knew somehow that if there was help for me anywhere, it would be in the Bible. I started with the New Testament because I knew I didn't have much time. Eventually, I came to Mark 11, 23 and 24. When I came to Mark 11, 24, something from outside me somewhere said to my mind, that doesn't mean what things soever you desire physically or materially or financially. That just means whatever things you desire spiritually. Healing has been done away with. So he said outside, something from outside said to his mind. Well, if it came from the outside, that's not coming from God. I tried to get my pastor to come and tell me what Mark 11, 24 did mean. He did not come. One preacher finally did come. He patted my hand, put on a professional voice, and said, I can say it just like Brother Hagin said it, because I heard him say it so many times. Just be patient, my boy. In a few more days, it will all be over. That's how he said it. I accepted the verdict and lay there expecting to die. He's a teenager. He's 16 years old. It was 2 months before I got back into the Bible. And back to Mark 11, 23 and 24. So his hope was crushed by that preacher. You know, just instead of giving him time. And I remember Brother Hagin, you know, he's paralyzed. And so he tried to ask him, what does this mean? Does this mean? And all he could do was mumble. He couldn't get it out. On the inside, he knew what he wanted to say. Can you imagine how frustrating that would have been? But because of the paralysis that was affecting his body and even his speech, he couldn't articulate the words and get that out. And I said, hey, you know, I found this in the Bible. But the preacher just grabbed his hand. There, my boy. In a few days, it'll all be over. Yeah. I remember he said on the inside of him, when he said that, he said, I was screaming, I ain't dead yet. But it was 2 months before he got back into the Bible. Listen, here's a good lesson for us all. Don't let anything ever get you out of the Bible for 2 months. Amen. Amen. I said, Lord, I tried to get someone to help me and I couldn't, so I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to take you at your word. When you were here on earth, you said it. I'm going to believe it. If you didn't lie about it, I'm coming off this bed because I can believe what you said I can believe. Whew, thank God. 16-year-old boy. Then I hit on this idea. It took me a long time because I had limited use of my hands. They propped the Bible up in front of me, and I just sort of scooted the pages. I decided to run my reference on faith and healing. I came to James 5, 14 and 15. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they'll be forgiven him. I thought all the rest of the healing scriptures had and prayer promises hinged on that. I thought you had to call for the elders of the church. You don't have to. You just can if you need to. So I begin to cry, "Dear Lord, if I have to call for the elders of the church to anoint me with oil to be healed, then I can't be healed. I don't know any elders of the church that believe in that." That's another man. Think about all he fought through. I had been saved about 6 months, and I had never heard an inward voice. I'm not talking about the voice of the Spirit of God. That is more authoritative. I'm talking about that still small voice in my spirit. My spirit said to me, "Did you notice that verse said the prayer of faith shall save the sick?" I had to look again. I'd had my mind on the elders and had missed that. "Yes," I said out loud, "that's what it says." It came as a real shock to me. Then on the inside of me, these words were spoken: "You can pray that prayer as well as anyone can." Hallelujah. But my spiritual education was slow, just like yours, he says. I stayed in that bed 9 more months before I finally saw that I had to believe I received my healing before it would be manifested. It was while I was praying and saying, "I believe that I received my healing," that I saw what I must do. I said, "I believe that I receive healing from the top of my head to the soles of my feet." Then I began to praise God because I believed that I received my healing. Again, on the inside of me, I heard these words. This was not that authoritative voice, but just a still, small voice, so faint, I would not have heard it if my mind and body had been very active. "Now you believe that you're well." I said, "I sure do." That inward voice said, "Get up then." Well, people ought to be up at 10:30 in the morning. I had been paralyzed. It was a struggle. I pushed myself. Finally, I got up to where I was draped over the bedpost. My knees sagged down not far from the floor. I had no feeling from my waist down. But draped over that bedpost, I said it again. "I want to announce in the presence of Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the holy angels present in this room. And I want to call the devil to record and all evil spirits that may be present in this room that according to Mark 11:24, I believe that I receive my healing." When I said that, physically, I felt something. It felt like someone above me was pouring a pitcher of honey on me. I felt it strike me on the top of my head. It seemed to pile up like honey would, and then it began to ooze down over me. It had a warm glow to it. It spread down over my head, down my neck and shoulders, down my arms and out the ends of my fingers, and down my body and out the ends of my toes. All of a sudden, I was standing straight. I've been straight ever since. But I want you to see this. I listened to my spirit. Faith, get this now, faith is of the spirit. Your faith will not work to its fullest until you learn some of these things. Learn to depend on Him, the one who is in you. Learn to develop your own spirit. Have faith in the fact that your faith in God works. Amen. Wow. Good stuff. Well, it was worth the price of admission just to get what he said in that last chapter right there. That's powerful. Amen? Praise God. Praise the Lord. All right. The next chapter that we want to look at is, well, it's not the next one in the book, but it's a couple of chapters over. This is chapter 17, Feelings, the Voice of the Body. So the voice of your spirit is your conscience. Well, what's the voice of your body? Well, your feelings are. I remember the guy that used to lead worship at the church that I went to in Tulsa when I was going to Rhema. His name was Doyle Tucker, and he wrote a song called "Mr. Feelings." I may have quoted some of it here before to you. You may remember this, but it goes like this. He says, "One day, Mr. Feelings told me I was in gloom and in despair. I was faced with obligations. I was burdened down with care. But I knew within my spirit that I should enter into praise. Mr. Feelings said, 'No going. This is not one of my days.'" So his feelings tried to stop him from praising God. He said, "So I spoke to my will and I said, 'Let's enter in.' Mr. Feelings just stayed outside. He serves a law of sin. So Will and I just entered in. At first it seemed so dry, but soon the warmth of heaven filled my closet from on high. I soon found myself lying prostrate on the floor. Mr. Feelings at first just stayed outside, but he soon knocked at the door. I said to Will, 'Let's open up. He may as well come in.' But if he'd had his way at first, all this never would have been." Isn't that good? So you can't follow your feelings. And so Brother Hagin talks about that. Feelings, the voice of the body. Too often people think that the witness, this verse, again he refers to Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. Too often people think that this witness, that the witness in this verse is talking about a physical something. It is not. It is a spiritual something. It is the Spirit of God bearing witness with our spirits. He does not bear witness with our bodies. You cannot go by physical feeling. We confuse things by the way we talk. We say, I feel God's presence. And we say that, don't we, sometimes? Well, he says, no, we don't. It's not a physical feeling. He says, we sense his presence spiritually. Use the word feeling advisedly. In other words, let's be careful how we use that because we don't want to confuse people, you know. And we want folks to learn, and we want to learn that it's through our spirit that we contact God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. It leaves the wrong impression that it's a physical feeling. Don't mix the physical with it. Feeling is the voice of the body. Reason is the voice of the soul or the mind. And conscience is the voice of the spirit. That's good. You should write that down. Feeling is the voice of the body. Feeling is the voice of the body. Second one, reason is the voice of the soul or the mind. And then thirdly, conscience is the voice of the spirit. Feeling is the voice of the body. Reason is the voice of the soul or the mind. And conscience is the voice of the spirit. Got it? All right. To go by feeling is to get into trouble. That is the reason so many Christians are up and down. I call them yo-yo Christians. And in and out. They go by their feelings. They don't walk by faith. They don't walk by their spirits. When they feel good, they say, glory to God, I'm saved. Hallelujah, I'm filled with the Spirit. Everything's fine. When they feel bad, their faces are long and they say, I've lost it all. I don't feel like I did, so I must be backslidden. I hear people, bless their hearts, talking about being in the valley, then being on the mountaintop, then getting back down in the valley again. I've never been in the valley. I've been saved more than 50 years, and I've never been anywhere but on the mountaintop. You do not have to get down in the valley. People talk about valley experiences. I've never had any valley experiences. Oh, yes, there have been tests and trials, but I was on the mountaintop all the time, shouting my way through, living above the tests and trials. Amen. Amen. And we can all do that. Yes. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. All right. I'll conclude this chapter with this. You cannot understand yourself by feelings. Understand yourself as a born-again, spirit-filled Christian by what the Word of God says about you. We sang that tonight. You know, we are, Lord, who you say we are. I am who God says I am. Amen. Right? You're who God says you are. Amen. That's not... You don't understand yourself by feelings, but understand yourself as a born-again, spirit-filled Christian by what the Word of God says about you. And when you read what the Word says about you, then whether you feel like it or not, say, yep, that's me. I have that. The Word says I have that. I can do what the Word says I can do. I am what the Word says I am. Glory to God. You will begin to develop spiritually then. And it is with your spirit that the Holy Spirit bears witness. Praise God. Amen. Look at John chapter 16. We do have that one, don't we, Mike? John 16:13. All right. And he's ready with that one. That one's up there. However, John 16:13. He says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Praise God. He says, let's notice, brother, this chapter is called Help from Within. This is chapter 18. We're just blazing through this book, aren't we? Let's notice some things Jesus said about the Holy Spirit in John 16:13. He will guide you into all truth. He will lead us. He will guide us. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he hear, that shall he speak. The Holy Spirit does speak. Whatever he hears God say, whatever he hears Jesus say, he will speak to your spirit. Where is he to speak? He is in your spirit, and that is where he speaks. He doesn't speak out in the air somewhere. He speaks on the inside. The Holy Spirit passes God's message onto your spirit, either by an inward witness, by the still small voice, the voice of your conscience, or by an inward voice, which is the more authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit. And it says, He will show you things to come. I do not believe this just means that the Holy Spirit will show us about future events as recorded in the Word of God. It also means that the Holy Spirit will show you things to come in our own individual lives. And so we can expect that. Now, He's not going to show us everything, but things that we need to know, things that we need to know to be prepared for, to be ready for, He'll show us things to come. And we can trust Him for that. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. So the number three way. So we talked about the inward witness and your conscience, the voice of your spirit. All right. And then the third way, number three, the voice of the Holy Spirit. The inward witness, the inward voice, and then the voice of the Holy Spirit. All right. Acts chapter 10, verse 19. Look at this. He says, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, everybody, let's notice what he said. The Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. So the Holy Spirit can speak, can't he? Mm-hmm. Amen. So this is the voice of the Holy Spirit. God leads us by what we call the still small voice, but He also leads us by the voice of the Spirit of God speaking to us. This is the third way we are led by the Spirit. Number one is by the inward witness. Number two is by the inward, still, small voice. Number three is by the more authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit. There is a difference between the inward voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to our spirits and that still, small voice, which is the voice of our own spirit speaking to us. When the Holy Spirit within you speaks, it is more authoritative. Sometimes it is so real it almost seems to be an audible voice. You may even look around to see who said it. It may seem so audible sometimes that you may think someone behind you said something, but then you realize it was in you. Remember in the Old Testament how the young boy Samuel heard a voice call his name. You know, I've never had this that I know of. I've never had this, in an audible way. It's the Holy Spirit speaking that strongly. But I know Brother Randy's talked about that. And he talked about being in the room and hearing a voice and thinking, somebody's in this room with me. And it was the Holy Spirit speaking to him. All right? In one situation he talks about, he was in a hotel room. He was at camp meeting. And the voice that he heard was actually Dad Hagin's voice. And he heard that and he thought, did he come in here? Is he playing a trick on me? And he looked around the hotel room. Miss Patty was out shopping or something. He was in there by himself. And he said, did Brother Hagin get in here? Is he playing a trick on me? And then he realized, this is something supernatural. And within just a couple of minutes, the phone rang. And it was Brother Hagin. And he told him word for word on the phone what he had heard the voice say just a few minutes before. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Remember in the Old Testament how the young boy Samuel heard a voice call his name, Samuel, Samuel. He thought Eli was calling him. He jumped up and ran to Eli to find out what he wanted. Eli said, no, I didn't call you. Samuel went back to bed. Then again he heard, Samuel, Samuel. Again he ran to Eli. No, I didn't call you. It happened the third time. Finally, it dawned on Eli what was happening. Eli said, the next time the Lord calls you, answer him. So the next time it happened, Samuel answered that voice. And the Lord spoke further to him. All right. And so that's the voice of the Holy Spirit. All God's leadings are supernatural. Some, however, are not so spectacular. But I have found in more than 50 years of ministry that when God moved in a more spectacular way, when He has spoken to me in what seemed to me to be an audible voice, it meant that there was rough sailing ahead. If He had not spoken so spectacularly, I would not have stayed steady. And you might not want to pray for that voice because it means rough sailing may be ahead. But He speaks authoritatively to hold you steady. Amen? Amen. All right. The last chapter we'll look at is chapter 20, which is called Judging by the Word. And you've heard me say this many times, but we can't emphasize it enough. Always, everybody say always.
Always.
Always remember this. The Bible teaches that the Spirit of God and the Word of God agree. All right? In 1 John 5, it talks about that. There are three that bear record, the Spirit and the Word. All right? And the Spirit, the water, and the Word. And so they agree. Anytime the Spirit of God speaks to you, it will always be in line with the Word. People have heard voices and have gotten every kind of, quote, revelation you can imagine. Some people are always claiming to hear a voice. You can and you should judge these things. You can judge whether spiritual experiences are right or wrong simply by judging them by the Word. Several years ago, I was preaching in California. A woman who had invited the pastor, his wife, and me to her home for the noon meal said, "Brother Hagin, I want to tell you what the Lord said to me. I want to give you my revelation." Before she opened her mouth, I sensed by the inward witness in my spirit that something was not right. But she persisted, and I agreed to listen. She had fed us in her lovely home, and now she wanted to give me this revelation. She began to relate it, and she talked for about 10 minutes before I stopped her. I just couldn't stand anymore. "Please," I said, "wait a minute. There's a Bible there on the table by the chair. Pick it up and open it to such and such a scripture." I gave her a chapter and verse in the New Testament. "Read that." She read it. Then I gave her another verse of scripture. She read it. I pointed her to several scriptures. Everything she read contradicted what she said. I said, "See, I cannot accept what you were saying. It is not in line with this book. Therefore, it cannot be the Spirit of God." "But, Brother Hagin, I was praying at the altar." I said, "I don't care if you were praying on top of the church. It's still not right. It is not in line with the Word." "Yes, but I know God gave it to me." I said, "No, He didn't. This is His Word, and what you are saying is in direct opposition to what the Word of God says. Can you give me any scripture to substantiate what you're saying?" "No, but I heard this voice speak to me." "I just gave you 5 scriptures, and with a little thought, I could have given you 20 that contradict what you're saying." "Well, yes," she said, "but Bible or no Bible, I know God spoke to me, and I'm going to stay with it." As we left, the pastor said to me, "I didn't want to say anything to you before, but this dear woman was a fine saint of God, on fire for the Lord. She was a blessing to the church. Now she's been put out of every full gospel church in the city because she persists in pushing this revelation off on everyone. We are not to seek voices. We should not follow voices. We should follow the Word of God." Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. And then I want to conclude with this. We are not to accept anything without examining it in the light of the Word of God. I'm glad that I learned some of these things early in life. I mentioned I received my healing as a young boy by just acting on Mark 11, 23 and 24. I was born with a deformed heart. I never ran and played as other children did. I became bedfast 4 months before my 16th birthday. My body became practically totally paralyzed. I wasted away until I weighed only 89 pounds. One day I asked the 5th doctor on the case, "Is something wrong with my eyesight or with my blood?" When Dr. Mathis took blood from my finger, it didn't look red. This doctor said, "I will tell you the truth, son, and I will explain it to you in layman's terms. The white blood corpuscles eat up the red corpuscles faster than you can build them up, or we medically can do anything about it. If you didn't have the heart condition, if you didn't have the paralysis, this incurable blood disease alone would prove fatal." I knew nothing about divine healing. I didn't know anyone in all the world believed in divine healing. When I found it in the Bible, I thought I'd found something no one else knew anything about, and I acted on God's Word and was healed. The members of my family were what we call nominal Christians. Literally, they were baby Christians. They were saved, but they were not taught beyond that. They were ignorant of the Word of God concerning healing. Our church taught that God could heal if He would. Others taught that not only that He would not heal, but that He could not heal. So when I began to see certain things in the Bible and began to talk to my family about them, they discouraged me. I had enough sense just to stay with the Bible and keep those things to myself. That's what you may have to do in certain situations.
That's right.
No one was in the room when I received my healing. I had been getting up and walking around the room for a couple of days before I said to Mama, please bring me a pair of shoes and socks, some underclothes, and a pair of pants and a shirt. I had worn nothing but bedclothes for 16 months. I'm going to get up and go to the breakfast table in the morning. Oh, son, do you know what you're doing? It took me 45 minutes to talk her into the notion of laying out those clothes for me. We made our home with my grandparents on my mother's side, and I asked my mother not to tell the rest of the family. Now, you could just mark it down. Grandpa got up early and sat out on the porch swing. When you heard that porch swing creak as he got up and headed toward the back of the house to the dining room, there was no use looking at your watch. It was 7:30. Grandpa ran on schedule. If you did look at your watch and it didn't say 7:30, you better set it. It was 7:30. My bedroom was in the front of the house. At 7:30 that August morning, I heard the porch swing creak. I heard his footsteps as he walked to the back of the house. I was already fully clothed, sitting in a chair in my room. I gave them time to get seated at the table. Then I walked out of my room, across another bedroom, and into the dining room. They did not expect that. Grandpa, meant a few words, looked up and said, is the dead raised? Is Lazarus raised up? I said, yes, Grandpa, the Lord raised me up. Then he asked me to offer the blessing. I prayed, and we ate. It's amazing how quick you can eat if you don't talk so much. You didn't talk at Grandpa's table, especially the young folks. Within 15 minutes, we were finished. I went back to my room. It was 10 minutes till 8 o'clock. I knew Mama would come in about 8 o'clock to make up the bed. Usually, I was in it, and she would give me my bath. Just 2 days before the day I was healed, she had bathed me. I was that helpless. So this Thursday morning, even though my heart was beating right, I felt weak from exerting so much energy. Remember, he still only weighed 89 pounds. Maybe 90 after he'd eaten breakfast. So I thought, I'm just going to lie down across the bed and rest till Mama comes to clean the room. Then I'll go out and sit with Grandpa in the swing. I had in mind to walk uptown about 10 o'clock. I dozed off to sleep and slept 10 minutes. At 8 o'clock, I suddenly became wide awake. I thought Mama was in the room. Someone was in the room. I didn't see him, but I heard this voice. To me, it was audible. The voice spoke in a slow, deep monotone and even quoted scripture. It said, and what is your life? And I can say it just like Brother Hagin said it because I've heard him say it so many times. And what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. There was a pause. Then the voice said, and today thou shalt surely die. Every voice is not of God. The first audible voice I ever heard was the devil. But I didn't recognize that then. I thought God was right there in that room. I sat up in the bed. Thoughts came into my mind faster than machine gun bullets fly. I knew James said, for what is your life? It is but even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. I knew that was scripture. And I knew the Lord told Isaiah to tell Hezekiah, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Also, for the first 6 months of being bedfast, before I'd known about divine healing, I had prayed the only way I understood. The doctors had said I had to die, and I had accepted it. So I had prayed, Lord, just let me know ahead of time so I'll have time to tell everyone goodbye. So when I heard this voice speaking to me, I thought, well, God has moved in this supernatural way to let you know that you're going to die so you'll have time to tell everyone goodbye. Divine healing is right. You have been healed. The devil couldn't argue that. I already had the word on it. Your family knows you've been healed. They can see that. But remember, the Bible said it's appointed unto men to die, once to die, and your appointed time has come. You're going to die today. I got up off the bed, and I tiptoed across the room. I thought God was standing right in that room, and I sat down in a chair by the window. There I waited from about 8:30 in the morning till 2:30 in the afternoon to die. About 2:30, still sitting in that chair, some words came floating up from somewhere down inside me. I didn't know then what I know now, but I was born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was in my spirit, and He is the one who wrote the Bible. Holy men of old wrote as they were moved by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit knows what's in that book. Because He was in me, then my spirit knew some things that the Holy Spirit knows. So these words came floating up from somewhere inside me to my mind. With long life will I satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. I didn't listen to them. I just let them float away from me. I still sat there waiting to die. The second time these words came floating up from inside me to my mind. With long life will I satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. I picked them up and turned them over a couple of times in my mind. Then I thought, yes, but God has moved in this supernatural way to let me know I'm going to die today. When I got my mind on that, those words disappeared. The third time, as I sat there, and these words came floating up, that inward something said to my mind, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. For a moment, I picked them up and repeated them just in my mind. Then I said in a whisper, yes, but God has moved in this supernatural way to let me know that I'm going to die. Again, when I got my mind on that, I missed it. The fourth time, a little more authoritatively, the Spirit of God spoke. I jumped. I thought someone had slipped up behind me. The voice of the Spirit of God said, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I said, who said that? I meant, who's in the room talking to me? But the voice answered and said, the 91st Psalm. My Bible was on the floor under the chair. I'd been sitting there all day. I hadn't even looked at it. I picked it up now and turned to Psalm 91. When I got down to the end, sure enough, it said, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. But do you think the devil will give up that quickly? Oh, no. Another voice, it seemed like something sitting on my shoulder, said in my natural ear and mind, yes, but that's in the Old Testament. That's just for the Jews. That's not for the church. I sat there and thought for a moment. Then I said, I know what I'll do. I'll run my references. If I can find anything in the New Testament like that, I'll know it belongs to me and to the church. I started with Psalm 91, a reference to with long life, led me into Proverbs. Then the Word began to enlighten me. In Proverbs, I began to see that the first audible voice could not have been God. The voice had quoted Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, but had misinterpreted it. Because the devil knew I didn't know any better. The voice had said, everyone has an appointed time to die. You hear people say that all the time. Even born-again, Spirit-filled Christians say, when your time comes, you're going to die. That is not true. You do not have an appointed time to die. Can somebody say amen? Amen. I read in the book of Proverbs again and again that if you do certain things, your days will be shortened, but doing other things will add unto you length of days. I knew God's word was right. I knew that even though that voice picked a verse out of a chapter and gave it to me, it could not have been God because it was not in line with the rest of the word of God. I continued to run references. This brought me over into the New Testament. I came over to Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, and then into 1 and 2 Peter, and I found that Paul and Peter quoted the Old Testament concerning long life. 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12, and 2 Peter 1, 3, and then Ephesians 6. I jumped up out of that chair with my Bible in one hand. I doubled up my fist, kicked with my foot, and I said, devil, you get out of here. That was you talking to me. That was you that spoke to me in that supernatural voice. I want you to know that I'm not going to die today, and I'm not going to die tomorrow, and I'm not going to die next week, and I'm not going to die next month, and I'm not going to die next year, and I'm not going to die the next 5 years, and I'm not going to die the next 10 years, and I'm not going to die the next 15 years, and I'm not going to die the next 20 years, and I'm not going to die the next 25 years, and I'm not going to die the next 30 years, and I'm not going to die the next 40 years. And I'm not going to die the next 50 years, and I'm not going to die the next 55 years. Amen. God's word says, with long life I will satisfy thee, and I'm going to go on living until I'm satisfied. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, at that time, that put him up to 72, and he went on another 15 years after that. So, praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Thank God. All that came about by... wow, listen to His Spirit. Listen to His Spirit. Amen? Amen? Judging by the Word and the Spirit agree always. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know about you. As Brother Hagin would say too, I preach myself happy here. Amen. This is good stuff, isn't it? Thank God. Thank God. Father God, we just praise You. Won't you stand up with me? Let's just worship God just for a minute. Father, we just thank You for Your Word tonight. And Father, we just thank You that the Holy Spirit seals this Word on the inside of us. And Father, I thank You right now. We just purpose and we commit to be doers of Your Word and not hearers only. Father God, we purpose to be spirit conscious, to begin to think of ourselves as an eternal spirit and to begin to say over our lives, I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. To begin to locate and recognize our spirit and listen to our spirit, because that's where your Holy Spirit communicates with us. Through that inward witness, through our conscience, the voice of our spirit, and through the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Father, we are your children. Won't you make this declaration after me? Say, I am a child of God. And I expect to be led by the Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I am a child of God. I am led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit Himself bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. And the Spirit Himself bears witness with my spirit in every situation, everything I need to know, every time I need guidance. Thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you show me things to come, that you guide me into all the truth in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's raise our hands and thank Him for that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Oh, we do thank you. We do praise you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, here we are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we're pursuing what you ordained and what you commissioned that the church needed to be trained in this time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We bless you. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless your name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Another thing that I picked up from Brother Hagin through the years, he would talk about putting out his spiritual antenna. Anybody ever hear him say that? If you've heard or followed his teaching, he'd talk about putting out his spiritual antenna. What is he talking about? He's talking about getting in tune with his spirit, listening. Okay, Holy Spirit, are you saying, you wanting to say anything? Are you wanting me to do anything? And that's helped me so much through the years to learn to do this, to put out, you know, we ought to all do that in our daily lives, and we ought to do it when we come to church. Amen. Because we all bring a supply of the Spirit. Amen. Put out your spiritual antenna and say, Lord, what do you... I believe we'd see a greater move of God. I believe we'd see greater things happen if we would come and put out our spiritual antenna. What are you saying, Lord? What do you want me to do? Do you want me to pray for someone? Amen? Praise God. Amen. Amen. All righty, you can be seated. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Praise you. Now hear this. Hear this. Hear this. And so there are some here even in this place tonight who have prayed and said, Lord, give me a word. I need a word. I don't know what to do. I need a word from you in this situation. But the Spirit would say to you, I've given it to you already. I've given it to you. You need to learn to trust that voice that is spoken to you in your spirit. Learn to recognize that. And know that that was me. That was me leading you by my spirit, in your spirit, and follow that. And so I've already spoken. And so this is a confirmation to you this night that you don't need another voice. You don't need another word. But follow that which I've given you on the inside. And trust that leading. Trust that inward witness that I've already given you concerning this situation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, if that fits you, then take it. Glory to God. And if you're wondering about it, then it may not fit you, but I'm sure there's some folks here that, wow, that was it. That's what I needed. So praise God. So, amen. God is good.